used to go like this. Ne kai ni adobe Martin. Oh my God, I just realized. Gabe, your name is Dobe. Ne kai ni adobe Martin. So it's the soloist would say, I will swing and dance with my crown in heaven. And then the people would respond, O kame inagi ati, o kame inagi ati amatuine, o kame inagi ati, o kame inagi ati amatuine. How will you do it? And then the soloist would respond and show us. Gamei nagyo, gamei nagyo matuine. So it was a song we would sing and tell each other. After all this, we are waiting for a crown. And when we get to heaven, I will dance and swing my crown. I will show off my crown. And so everybody, it used to be such a joyful song. And then the soloist would say, Gagaithia Jesu, and I will greet Jesus. And you would just decide who do you want to say hi to when you go to heaven. So if you are the soloist and you are so interested in Faoro, Gagaithia Faoro, you know, Gagaithia, and then you'll show, how will you do it? Gamogaithia. A song that talked with a lot of joy of the reward when we get to heaven. And yesterday, as I was meditating on why do we have to engage in warfare? Why do we have to contend? The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why do we have to do this? Because it is so easy to just show up in church and sing and worship, and you don't want to trouble the devil. Or you know, there are those people who don't want to trouble the devil. They don't want to interfere with anything with the devil. They just want to enjoy that calmness, that peace, you know, a very good, smooth life. So why is it that at a time like this, and even in the scripture, that the Lord talked about this, and we've been commanded and we've been given the authority to use to contend with the principalities, with the powers, with all these enemies within and without. And when I was meditating about that, I thought about what the reward that is awaiting us. And today I want to talk about understanding crowns. And when I talk about crowns, we are talking about rewards and blessings that await us believers who faithfully serve God and follow his teachings. The other thing I've said over and over in my life in Christ is that if Jesus was saving you so that you just receive life and have it in abundance, and then you just go to heaven, then the very moment you said, I have received Jesus Christ in my life, I believe that would be the very moment you are translated and go to. If that was the only purpose and why Jesus died and Jesus has saved you, if that was the only reason, then the moment you give your life to Jesus, then you'll be rescued and go to heaven. But why is it, like, for example, if everybody can say, how many years have you been in Christ? I gave my life to Jesus when I was 9 years old. And now I have some years. Yet all those years, if I got saved to receive life and have it in abundance, to be saved from hell, if that was all it is, then I don't think there will be a reason for us to continue being in this earth, this world. You know, we sing, this world is not my home, I am just a passerby. But there is more to this gift of salvation we received. It is a full package. And so when we talk about crowns, we are talking about rewards that you will get other than being saved from the second death. There is more. There is more. And I also remember years ago, in those years when we were singing that song, one day I just thought about it, and I thought about, you know, just being a good Christian and just going to church and not doing much, you know, not doing much. And I remember saying, I don't want to get to heaven and all I can get for a crown is a headband, you know, like a karorigi, like a string around. I want, when I get to heaven, the service I have served would be service enough for me to receive very good crowns. Praise the name of the Lord. And so let's start by defining what is a crown. And from English dictionary, a crown is a symbolic headgear. It's typically made of precious metals and adorned with jewels. It is worn by people in authority to represent authority, to represent power, to represent sovereignty or honor. So when we talk about a crown in biblical terms, it represents the rewards and the blessings promised to every believer. This one is for every believer who faithfully serve God. So why do I want us to understand about these rewards and blessings? And what is their place when we talk about spiritual warfare and you know, living right, living a life that is yielded to the Lord? So when you understand about the rewards and the blessings that are there set apart for us, it motivates us for faithfulness. That is one thing. It motivates us for faithfulness. Those years ago when I thought so much about crowns, and I said, when I get to heaven, I don't want to only have a string, a headband, you know, that string. I want to have a crown because I have served God. It motivates me because I know there are rewards in heaven for faithful service. And so it makes me persevere in my walk with Christ. And even in the face of challenges, you remember what we talked about, how you have a desire and then there is opportunity or enticement to fulfill that desire, the temptation, and then you find yourself falling, doing the action that makes it a sin. But when you have a motivation of there is a reward there in heaven for me, even in those challenging times, you keep going and you remain faithful. James chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the motivation for faithfulness, you know, no matter the challenges, no matter the trials, no matter the temptation, no matter how things appear, you are motivated to remain faithful, to stand the test, because you know there is a crown of life that the Lord has promised you. Amen. The other benefit or reason for knowing this is for us to be able to focus on eternal perspective. We are living in a world that is so fast and things are fleeting. It's just the other day we ushered in a new year. Today I was just thinking about it. We've already gone through a quarter of it. And it just seems like yesterday. So in the systems and in the times we are living in, It is so easy for us to forget about eternity and to focus only on now. But when you know about the crowns that the Lord has promised us, it helps us to prioritize the eternal reward over temporary earthly pleasure. All right? And that's why Jesus was saying, if your eye is causing you to sin, it is better you pluck it out. If your hand is the one that will cause you to miss, it is better you even cut it off. You go to heaven without a hand. But that thing that is temporary, it should not replace the eternal reward. So by understanding about crowns, this helps us to maintain a perspective that is focused on eternity rather than on the fleeting concerns of this worldly earth that we are living in. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, the Bible says, so if we fix our eyes not on what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. I'm just gonna pause there to allow you to, for it to just sink in. What does this mean? Huh? Imagine fixing your eyes. What is the purpose of the eye? The purpose of the eye is to see. But the word of the Lord is saying, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is this that is unseen? Yet the Lord requires us to fix our eyes on that. Since what is seen, what we can see right now, if you look, I've seen this phone. It is very temporary. Praise the name of the Lord. Just for an example, I may be so connected with this phone. I'm spending time watching funny videos on this phone. A lot of time chatting, looking at what people are posting on this phone. And my eyes may be just be glued on that. But if I focus on the eternal perspective, my question would be like, okay, so I have spent 3 hours laughing at cat videos and people falling accidentally and it is funny. You know those videos? You're looking at me as if I'm the only one who sees those ones. I've seen funny videos and you end up using your 5 good minutes laughing on reels. That is what is seen. But it's temporary. What if I would fix my eyes on what is unseen? Instead of using those 5 minutes just laughing about cat videos, I focus those 5 minutes on reading the word of God. I may not see with the physical eyes what is going on, but whatever I have planted is eternal. The earth and the heavens and the earth will be rolled away, but the word of God remains forevermore. That's just an example. I'm not saying you don't watch the videos. It was just an example. But again, when we focus on the eternal rewards, the crowns, we are able to focus on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I don't want to get so deep in this, but there is a lot of depth in that. What is unseen that is eternal? So the other thing, we talked about motivation, But I also want to say, when we understand about the crowns, which is the rewards and the blessings of being faithful in our walk with Christ, there is encouragement for service. So the promise of receiving crowns can encourage a believer to actively serve God and others, knowing that their labor is not in vain and that it will be rewarded in the future. Today I saw somebody say, oh, I have come to realize that people, you help them, and when it is time they are okay, they applaud others and recognize others in the public, and they forget you helped. They don't even recognize you. And when I saw that, something came to me, and I thought, but if I did it for the Lord, huh? If I when I was doing it for you, I did it for the Lord, then it doesn't matter whether you appreciate or you don't appreciate, because if I do it for the Lord, it is not in vain. I will be rewarded. You may not be able to reward me, but I will be rewarded. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, I'll just read the B part. It says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you life as your victor's crown. So being faithful, it is an encouragement for service. Service unto the Lord. Revelation 2 verse 10. I read only the B part. I didn't read the whole verse. The other important reason why we need to understand and to know about rewards and the crowns is for accountability and stewardship. And this now brings me to the part where I want to go step by step, because there are various crowns that can be earned. We are going to see them in the scriptures, various crowns that can be earned. And this is an encouragement to us to be good stewards of our time, good stewards of our talents, and the resources that God has given us, that we use that for the kingdom purposes. So 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, the Bible says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. So having said that, we agree that understanding the concept of crowns and the rewards and the blessings, it can inspire us as believers to live faithfully, to serve wholeheartedly, and to keep our focus on the ultimate reward of eternity with God. Eternity with God. So let's break down these crowns. I have a few I'm going to mention. And the first crown is the crown of life. The crown of life. James 1 verse 12. This is the verse I had read before. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So one of the crown we will receive when we get to heaven is the crown of life. And this crown is given to those who do what? Persevere. Even under trial. Those people who don't fall and give up and quit. So any minute you feel like quitting and giving in, remember, there is a crown. There's a crown of life that is there waiting for you. So you keep going. Keep going. There's a crown of life. In Revelation 2 verse 10, the one I didn't read the first part, it says, Do not be afraid of whatever you're about to suffer. So this is a church that the Lord was speaking to. And now this is why I want us to understand, why do we want to do warfare? Why? So the Lord is saying, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. Warfare. Warfare. The devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for days. It says 10 days there. Be faithful. Be faithful even to the point of death. And I will give you life as your victor's crown. So, when you go through even persecution, testing, this warfare, this is an encouragement. What made people like Stephen? He's been stoned, yet he just looks up, his eyes looks up, and he sees Jesus. And this time Jesus is not seated, he sees Jesus standing. And the guy is being stoned, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I've been reading about people who were beheaded, martyred, you know, the martyrs. And all they went through, what kept them? What kept them? Even in our days, what is it that makes believers to keep going? Even in the midst of strong battles, fierce battles. This ones that Jesus is saying, the devil will even put some of you in prison. But do not give up. Be faithful even to the point of death. It is knowing there is a crown of life that awaits me. And at one point, Jesus said, do not worry about men who only have the power to harm this body, but they cannot touch the soul. This victory is exercised by someone who knows, other than what we see here, there is another place we are going. Other than what man can do to my body, there is one who holds the life, the soul. I'm not gonna lose my soul. I will stand strong. The crown of life. Number two, crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. Let me first say that our own righteousness is just like filthy rags before the Lord. Our own righteousness cannot be able to help us. We cannot stand and boast about being righteous, our own righteousness. And that's why we keep on asking for the Lord's help to remain righteous. So righteousness, to be righteous, is to have the right standing with God. Our God is so holy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul is saying, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. If you read that chapter, Paul is really talking about his last days. He's saying, I feel I'm at a place, I'm about to be poured. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have finished the race. And he's now looking not on He's even telling Timothy, you come with my kabuti, come with my, it's a jacket. Let me open. Come with my jacket, bring me some books. But in that chapter, he is speaking about things that are unseen. He is at a place where he is saying, my time is almost up. As for my life, verse 6, he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who are eagerly looking forward to his appearing. When I gave my life to Jesus, it was such an interesting encounter. It all began with a song my mother was singing, and it was a hit song. And the song went like this. Mahe, mahe, mahe. Mahe, hiya, matweke, mohu. Mahe, tamaragara. I can't even remember the other part. The song was saying, people will burn in hell. It was a song of, and my mother had a tendency of singing the song while she was fanning, you know, lighting a jiko, the coal, whatever. Yeah? So she is fanning the coals, the charcoal, and she is singing, Maye, 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 and my mom has a very good soprano. Yeah? And I would look at how those sparks, and it's lighting, and I would imagine, somehow that song, if we were to talk in the terminologies of today, that song traumatized me. I had nightmares. I would dream of fire coming from up the sky, and I'm trying to run all over, and the fire is falling. And at one point, my mom came and, you know, just checking, why am I screaming? I said, Mom, I want to be saved. And my mom just tucked me in and said, you just sleep, you're saved. And I got peace and I believed I got saved. The story of how I went after that is a story of another day. But I started now trying to understand this salvation. I went around to places people would be singing. There was a lot of search and hunger in my life, but there is one message that was constant. And that message was, we need to be ready, for Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. And there was such a fear of sin and unrighteousness. Nobody would mess around because you don't know when Jesus will appear. And if he appears and finds your garment tarnished with blemish, then you miss. And so those early years, I still remember of how believers strived to walk in the right way in righteousness. Once you are forgiven your sins, no going back. And people would stand and testify, I used to do this. You know, all those works of the flesh? Yeah? I was this. And since then, since Jesus saved me, I no longer do those things. Why am I talking about that? Because here is Paul saying something very important. That there is a crown of righteousness. You know, when you receive that crown of righteousness, you do not need to repent anymore. No repentance, no struggle with sin anymore. There, right there in the presence of the Lord, the power of sin cannot touch you. Can you imagine what an atmosphere that will be, where you don't have to struggle with sin, where you don't have to struggle with the devil, because you are right there, right standing. And this crown of righteousness is kept on the day of the Lord's return. That is the crown we will receive. And this crown is for those who are eager, who are longing for his return. Nowadays, we are having debates. I remember those days, our parting words would be, "I will see you tomorrow if Christ tarries." Jesu akagushoka muthiri ningakuona rucio. Like, that is what we were looking towards, eager. What happened over the years? When was the last time you were eagerly expecting the return of Christ? When was the last time you fought the battle, prepared yourself, because you know for sure Jesus is coming soon? We are living in a time where people are preparing for death. We are able to write our wills, you know, plan our estates, get life insurance. What are you doing about the return of Christ? And those that are eager for that return of Christ, we have a crown of righteousness that Jesus has prepared for us. I pray that the Lord will help us to remain faithful and to be expectant of his return. The other day, I watched someone and in a place the Saturday where we were, and then I watched other people at another place where we were, and I said in my heart. And another Saturday, I saw the same people at a place very active and really advocating for their business. And I said in my heart, if only the church can discern the urgency. If only as believers we can discern the urgency. And the way we advocate for stuff, those that are temporal, we advocate, we share the gospel, the Great Commission, we become faithful and active, then Jesus would have been back already. The book, Bible says in the book of Peter, second or 3:9, first or second Peter 3:9, that he is not slack on his promise. Somebody asked me the other day, since you started saying Jesus is coming, and you're still saying Jesus is coming, why isn't he coming? And that makes many of us slack off and think that we have so much time. We have so much time. When we talk about this crown of righteousness, the key is all those who have longed for his appearing. Longed for his appearing. Those who are eagerly looking forward for his appearing. And I just want to ask you to do a reflection. Are you looking forward for his appearing? Or have you at any given time said, Lord, don't come before I get married. Jesus, don't return before, you know, I buy a house. Jesus, I want to get this degree. Before you return, let me do this. Let me do that. Are we eagerly looking forward to his coming back, to his appearing? Because what happens when you look forward to his appearing, you fight the battles. You will do spiritual warfare, because at that appearing, you do not want to miss this crown of righteousness. Some of the things you struggle with when it comes to lust of the flesh, you'll be like, what is it? What is this lust of the eye to keep me away from the crown of righteousness? For what gain? You know, the Bible says, Jesus asked, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will it profit you if you drive a Lamborghini? And you live by the sea, a very nice house by the sea. I'm not saying it is wrong to have all these things. But if that is what you are longing for, more than longing for the coming of Christ, then our priorities need to change. All right, number three, crown of glory. Crown of glory. 1 Peter 5. Verse 4. Let me start from verse 1. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord over it, over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. Verse 4, what I wanted to highlight. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. So this is about a crown of glory that is given to those who also share in the suffering. The Bible says that the present suffering cannot be compared to the awaiting glory. There is an awaiting glory. And Peter is saying, when you, whatever you're doing, as he's speaking to the shepherds, to the elders who are shepherding the people of God. And I want to make it very general because everyone has an assignment. Everyone has an assignment. And he is saying, when you're doing it, don't do it grudgingly. Do it willingly. Don't do it grudgingly. Do it willingly. And this is something that will now make you deal with the manifestation of the flesh, because the flesh is selfish. The flesh can be envious. The flesh wants special treatment. The flesh can be proud, you know? And that is why Peter is saying, do not lord over. Don't be the boss. Don't be the boss over people. Humility. You know, there's this mother of the sons of thunder. She comes and says, hey, Jesus, when you appear in your kingdom, let my first son sit on the right, the other one sit on the... Huh? She felt as a mother, I have to advocate for my children. And Jesus said that those positions are not for me. The one who is the greatest is the one who serves. And one of the battles we are fighting right now in this generation, it is the battle of celebrity. You know, your mambo ya celebrity, being a celebrity, going viral and, you know, having followers and likes. It is a battle. It is a battle that is that is targeted to gratify the flesh and to exalt the flesh. And so what happens? The moment you start stepping in and it's about you, the plan of the enemy is you touch the glory of God. And what does the Bible say about that? Touch not my glory, for I cannot share my glory with anybody. So the very moment you start now touching the glory, you are automatically disqualified because you started touching the glory. But yet there is a crown of glory that we will receive if we serve willingly and faithfully. A few years ago, and maybe you've heard me give this testimony, I had gone to, one of my daughters was in a certain high school and she had been sent home for school fees. And she stayed home for almost a month and I didn't have money to take her back. And one day I remember we were in the coffee farm just picking coffee and I said to her, I feel it is time we go and whatever we even if we have nothing, we'll go to the principal, talk to him, and you need to go back to school. And so we got out of the farm and got ready, showered. We walked because it was a distance. Walked and went to the school. And as I was seated in the waiting, you know, that lobby waiting for the principal to be free to talk to me, there was this certain parent who was seated next to me. And she had come there to look for for an opportunity for her daughter to be transferred in that school. And we got talking, you know, you're seated, you're just people waiting. We got talking. And as the students are coming from class and coming to the office, they are saying, oh, hi, Pastor Lucy, because I used to minister in the schools for their weekend challenge and the CEUs. And this woman looks at me and says, oh, so you are a pastor. Can I share with you a prayer need? And she shared with me a prayer need. She had been trusting God for a visa to travel to a certain country. I'm not going to mention which. And I said, let us pray. We prayed right there. And we exchanged contact. And I told her, I'll be praying for you. So a miracle happened when I went in the office. The principal saw me and he was asking, why are you here, Pastor? I said, it's my daughter. You sent her home and I don't have money. And the principal looked at her and said, never go home. Even if you're sent by anybody, you come here, I'll be giving you a slip to go back to class. Never go home. Because I know even the pastor is not your mother, but she's doing God's work. So I saw the miracle. But sometimes things happen simultaneously, but you do not know what God is doing behind the scene. So the reason why the Lord wanted us to go at that particular time was for me to meet this lady and to pray for her and to be praying for her. So a month later, I'm in the church praying around 3 a.m. and I see a vision of a man who brought me papers and said, sign here. Here is the visa. This document had the lady's name and in the vision, I signed it. I remember this is at 3 a.m. in the morning. So afterwards, I waited for morning before I could call. I called. I said, this is Pastor Lucy. Remember, we met in this high school, what. And today, in a vision, I signed your visa. Your visa is approved. I said, what is the process? Do you need to go check her? And she was like skeptical. So she never went. That was on a Wednesday. She never went. So she got a phone call on Friday from the visa, from the embassy saying, we approved your visa on Wednesday morning. And you're supposed to fly out tomorrow in the evening. So come pick it up. So she calls me hysterically saying, Pastor Lucy, I'm going to send some money right now. I need you to come to Nairobi. Don't even carry a change of clothes. I need to organize a Thanksgiving and I need to honor you. And she talked a lot. You know, she's very excited. And I was like, no problem. You send. You know where I live. You send. The moment I hung up that phone, I had the Holy Spirit tell me, you take that money and go to the city. You will have received your reward. Called her immediately. I said, my sister, may you go and flourish where you're going. I don't need to come. And it is okay. And once I hung up the phone, I knew peace and I knew I've passed the test. So why am I giving that testimony? Because as the Lord is equipping us even to fight battles, you will pray for people, cast out demons. You will pray for people that will receive healing. You will speak a word and somebody receives divine wisdom on what strategy and guideline they need to take. It is very possible, the battle of the flesh, it is very possible to feel you are someone. Or that you have done something. But when you know there is a crown of glory that is there that we will receive, a glory that will not fade away, you're not going to touch the glory of God here on earth. No matter how God uses you in warfare, no matter how God uses you to manifest his power, this will motivate you to not touch his glory. And this is a battleground that many have fallen. Many have fallen. All right, number four, we have the incorruptible crown. Incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. So let me start from verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. So let's first establish that. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for eternal price. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete that after training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Again, the concept of eternity. Concept of eternity. Imagine the joy of running and winning and getting an award here. Doesn't it make people feel good? Mm-hmm. So can you imagine, those awards are very temporal. They will fade away. They will not last. You're not going to go to heaven with your awards. But when we get there, there is a crown that will last forever. Let's really look here in depth. This crown that will last forever is for those who are really training. As an athlete, we have one, the Marathoners, Elder Simon can tell us about the training and how he subjected his body through this vigorous training so that he can run and finish the race. All right? So what about us? What about us? He is saying, I'm not just shadow boxing. This is now living purposely. So one of the reasons why people backslide is because they are neither hot, they are neither cold. They are just, they are lukewarm. You are a Christian on Sunday, but on Saturday you came from, before you come into church, where you came from yesterday on Saturday, was another place. So what happens to those who are like that? Huh? James calls them double-minded. And those double-minded people, they do not get anything. Don't receive anything. So in as much as we want to fight from a place of victory, for us to get this incorruptible crown, we need to purpose that this is it, this is it, and this is it. Nothing else. I remember one time I said, it doesn't matter, even if somebody comes and proves to us there is no heaven. You know, like literally comes and says, oh, by the way, that story you've been believing since you are a child is not a true story. I remember saying this to somebody. Even if that would happen, I would still remain saved. I would still live my life in Christ. Now, getting to that place, look at this warfare. The three Hebrew boys or young men fought. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a warfare of gods. Huh? The king has his elected God. And he is saying everybody must bow. And there is a threat. If you do not bow, the fire is there. And these guys are like, huh? When the trumpets sound, the guys are still standing. Why? In their statement when they were brought before the king, this is what they said. We know our God. Huh? We know our God. Listen to how they knew their God. We know our God is able to deliver us from the fire. They first, you know, hail you, the king. We have nothing with you, king. No disrespect. But we answer to a higher authority. We know that our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But listen, O king, even if he doesn't. See that knowing, that confidence, it's like even if he's not gonna deliver us, we'll still not bow. We will still not bow. How are we in that? Or has the message of grace been preached to so much that you say, oh, let me just do it, I'll repent. It is only once I will repent. But these Hebrew boys, young men, they decided, even if we die, I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. If I die, let me die. Is it just a song? Because where the church we are entering, the season we are entering, in a season where the battle will be so fierce. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and they overcame by the words of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and they did not love their lives even unto death. We are so good with using these weapons. The weapon of testimony, yeah? And the weapon of the blood of Jesus. But the back stops where it is loving your life even unto death. You're like, hey, I got rights, yeah? My rights. We need to get to the place that's like, okay, I am looking forward to an incorruptible crown. And it does not matter. This is it. I am focused. I'm in this to win. I'm not quitting. I'm in this to win. Number five, a crown of rejoicing. I love this. I love this. Crown of rejoicing. First Thessalonians 2 verse 19. First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? So let me read from verse 17 so that you understand what this is all about. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Are you seeing that? Mm-hmm. They wanted to go back to the church in Thessalonica. They tried again and again, but Satan prevented, hindered them. And it is in that scenario, even after being prevented from going back and they are longing for the church, he ends up saying, but after all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, it is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Can you imagine this crown of rejoicing is a crown you will receive by just looking? And when I try to visualize when we get to heaven and Jesus calls my name and everybody I have led to Christ lines up behind me. Say, I look back and I see all this. I preach the good news to them. That is the crown of rejoicing. That's what Paul is saying. The crown of rejoicing, our joy, our pride is you. You have kept the faith. Imagine the joy of getting to heaven. And I look around and I see all GPC family there. I'm like, hey, hi, Kate. Where is your mansion? Hi, Pastor Mickey. That crown of rejoicing. It is my prayer that none of you will take away something from my crown of rejoicing. Please, keep the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Understanding that it's not only what we see, but there is an eternal perspective. I'm going to pause there for now, and we can open up for questions. Blessings. You can pause the recording too.